Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And what a beautiful morning. As Pastor Vicky said, spring has sprung, hasn't it? It's delightful. Well, this morning I'm going to start by talking about a nice bit of sportsmanship shown by a Spanish long-distance runner. In December 2012, Ivan Fernandez Anaya was competing in a cross-country race in northern Spain. And towards the end of the race, Ivan was coming second behind a very good Kenyan runner named Abel Mutai. But as the Kenyan runner approached the finishing line, he got a bit confused by the signage and he stopped 10 metres short, thinking that he'd finished the race. Coming up behind him, Ivan could see that the Kenyan had made a mistake. And Ivan knew that if he wanted to, he could easily pass him and take first place. But Ivan decided to do the right thing. He called out to the Kenyan to keep running to the finishing line. But the Kenyan didn't understand Spanish. So he stayed where he was. So Ivan then came up behind Abel and gave him a little nudge of encouragement to cross the finishing line in front of him. And we should have a photo of Ivan encouraging Abel to cross the line. You can actually see him pointing. He's saying, the finishing line's that way. Abel, go that way. And we should have another photo, thanks Jordan, of the two runners shaking hands after the race. It's a great story, isn't it? It is. It's beautiful. And there was quite a bit of publicity about it. I would hope so. I would hope so. That would be a test, but yes, I want to. That's right. Absolutely. Yes. Amen. Amen. When reporters asked Ivan why he purposely lost the race, Ivan said that he didn't deserve to win. Abel deserved to win the race. Ivan said that as soon as I saw that he was stopping, I knew that I wasn't going to pass him. Ivan went on to say, what would have been the merit of that victory? What would have been the honour of that medal? Ivan also said, what would my mum think of that? It's a good line, isn't it? If you're about to do something wrong, think, what would my mum think of that? More importantly, absolutely, more importantly, ask yourself, what would God think of that? As one reporter put it, Ivan chose honesty over victory. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3, the word says that the integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. The Cambridge Dictionary describes integrity as the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles that refuse to change. As Christians, our moral principles, our set of values, come from the Bible, come from the Word of God. You know, our integrity comes from living lives that follow God's moral principles, which includes being honest, being trustworthy, being respectful, valuing other people, being willing to admit your mistakes, amen, being reliable, being hard-working, and basically trying to do the right thing. The first part of Proverbs 11:3 said that the integrity of the upright guides them. You know, choosing to be someone of integrity is not only the right way to live, it's actually a better way to live. You know, God's word provides us with clear instructions on how to live a good and productive life. You know, there are blessings in being obedient to God. You know, God's word provides us with clear instructions, clear boundaries between what's right and wrong. Following God's word also helps protect us from falling into sin, getting into trouble. You know, the second part of Proverbs 11:3 says that, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity or another word for duplicity is deceitfulness. In the long run, dishonesty doesn't pay. You know, if we abandon our integrity, any short-term wins we might have will end in defeat. But when we choose integrity, when we choose to follow God's ways, His goodness and His power will begin to shape us. His goodness will deepen our character and help us to live genuinely good lives. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You are good and holy. Your name is above all names. We give You all the praise and glory. Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your word that guides us and leads us. Lord, we thank You that You are a God of integrity. You are always honest. You are always faithful. Lord, I pray that we become more like You. Help us to live upright lives, Lord. Lord, also pray that You speak through me this morning to deliver Your message. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You know, when it comes to having integrity, Daniel from the Old Testament is someone who springs to mind. Daniel continued to honour God, follow God, even when he was forced to live in a foreign pagan land. Daniel continued to be obedient to God in difficult circumstances, and God blessed him for it. Around 605 BC, Daniel, as well as some of the other Jews from Jerusalem in southern Israel, were taken captive by the Babylonians and sent to Babylon, which is in modern-day Iraq. And at the time, the Babylonians under King Nebuchadnezzar were starting to exert a lot of pressure on southern Israel, on the southern kingdom. And within 10 to 15 years, the southern kingdom fell to the Babylonians. When Daniel was taken captive, when he was taken out of Israel, it's thought that he was only a teenager at the time, but he then went on to spend another 60 years in Babylon, or at least 60 years. You know, in Babylon, Daniel faced the challenge of trying to live his life in a culture devoted to pagan worship. Daniel faced the challenge of trying to live his life in a culture that was vastly out of step with his own beliefs and faith. Sound a little bit like the world we live in today to anyone here? But in this unfavourable environment, Daniel continued to put God first, and God rewarded him for it. Incredibly, he became an important government leader over the entire province of Babylon. Daniel was also a prophet, which means that he spoke on behalf of God and communicated God's message to his people. Daniel stood up for God, and he was very, very bold in speaking the truth to leaders. He also wrote the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. You know, Daniel loved and sought God. From a young age, he was determined to live by God's law, even in a distant pagan land. And, you know, even though Daniel was a government leader, he turned to God first. He prayed to God first before dealing with matters of the state. You know, the meaning of Daniel in Hebrew is, God is my judge. Everyone say, God is my judge.
God is my judge.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, we all share the name of Daniel. And, you know, God is our ultimate judge. Over everything else, you know, government leaders or whatever, God is our ultimate judge. Amen?
Amen?
Put Him first. You know, Daniel continued to work as a leader in the government even after the Babylonian Empire fell to the Persians around 539 BC. When the Persian king came in, King Darius, when he took over, he could see that Daniel had exceptional administrative qualities and planned to set him up as the leader over all the satraps. The satraps were like governors of leaders of provinces within Persia. Basically, the king wanted to make Daniel a government leader over the whole kingdom. But when the other governors heard about this, they were jealous. of Daniel and try to set a trap for him. In the book of Daniel, chapter 6, verse 4, the word says, "At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent." You know, they're acknowledging that Daniel was a good man. He was honest. He was responsible. He was not corrupt. He was hardworking. He was reliable. He was respectful. He was a man of integrity. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 5, the word says, "Finally, these men said, 'We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of God.' So the administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, 'May King Darius live forever.' The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or any human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den." You know, after hearing their proposal, King Darius signed the written decree forbidding prayer to anyone except him for the next 30 days. Once the decree became law, it couldn't be changed. But even though Daniel was aware of this new decree, he continued to pray to the one true God three times a day. Daniel was uncompromising in his faith. He continued to honour God, put God first. Now, seeing that their cunning plan had worked, the officials quickly reported to the king that Daniel continued to pray to God. When the king heard the news, he was greatly distressed. He respected Daniel. He wanted to free Daniel, but his decree couldn't be changed. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 16, the word says, "So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, 'May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you.'" Even though the pagan king threw Daniel into the lion's den, ironically, he was also hoping that Daniel's God would deliver him. The king was well aware that Daniel was a strong man of faith, because in verse 16 he said that Daniel served God continually. Daniel was consistent in his faith to God. He was uncompromising in his faith. It was clearly visible. It's a reminder to all of us here today that believers are watching our behavior. Aim for a high standard of faith and behavior. You know, if we aim for a high level of integrity, it might just help other people to see that our faith in Jesus Christ is real. It might just help them to seek what we have and to believe and follow Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, after Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, a stone was placed over the mouth of the den, and the king then sealed this with his signet ring and the rings of his nobles so that Daniel's situation could not be changed. He was trapped in there. The king then returned to his palace and spent a restless night worrying about what had happened to Daniel. At dawn, the king hurried back to the lion's den, and in Daniel chapter 6, verse 20, the word says, "When the king came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, 'Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?' Daniel answered, 'May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty.'" God miraculously saved Daniel from the lions. And Daniel was quick to give all the glory, all the honor to God. Yeah, after seeing Daniel survive, Darius immediately gave the orders for all of Daniel's accusers, all the ones who'd set a trap for him, as well as their families, to be thrown into the lion's den, and the lions devoured them. King Darius also issued a decree that everyone in the kingdom needed to honour the God of Daniel. You know, Daniel is a great example. He's a great example of someone who was just continued to serve God and follow God no matter what was going on around him. Daniel continued to pray, to worship the one true God, even when he was told that he would be thrown into the lion's den. You know, fortunately for us living in Australia, when we publicly confess our faith in Jesus, our lives should not be at risk. It's different for people living overseas in other countries. If they confess their faith in Jesus, their lives are in a lot more danger than ours. You know, Daniel is a great example to us all to be honest, to do the right thing without compromising our biblical convictions, without compromising our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, that shows integrity. You know, Daniel was more concerned what God thought rather than what people thought, and God blessed him for it. You know, with regards to his faith, Daniel didn't mind being out of step with the Babylonians and the Persians. You know, it's the same for us. Don't worry about being out of step with the way the world operates. You know, you might have noticed there's some pretty evil stuff going on in the world at the moment. You know, the world accepts and even promotes immoral behaviour and lifestyles that go against the teachings of God. In a word, it's called sin. Now, sin can be described as an immoral act that goes against God's laws, against God's teachings. Don't be influenced by the way the world promotes sin and under the veil of political correctness. You know, no matter how the world paints it or promotes it, immoral behaviour is still called sin. Sin is sin. Choose to follow God's laws, God's ways. Don't be influenced by the values of the world. That's why you need to read your Bible. You need to come to church. You need to know God's values and commandments so that you compare what God says to what the world says. If the world's values don't line up with God's values, throw them out. Don't let the world lead you away from God's values. Don't let the world compromise your integrity, your faith in God. You know, integrity is also a term used for the strength of a building, which can be referred to as its structural integrity. Structural integrity helps a building to stand firm under the pressure of a load, including the weight of itself. As Christians, our foundation, our faith, is based on the teachings of the Word of God, the Bible. However, as a Christian, if you start being influenced by how the world operates and start to believe that sin is okay, it will undermine your foundation. The integrity of your foundation will be compromised, which can bring your whole life down. Choose to follow God's ways and be obedient to His laws and teachings. Amen? Now, with regards to sin, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We still make mistakes. We still fall down. But through God's amazing grace, He'll forgive us when we repent of our sins. If you confess your sins to Jesus with a repentant heart, the Word says that Jesus will forgive you. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, the Word says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's a promise from God, and our God is faithful. He will forgive you. As Christians, we're not perfect. Only Jesus is perfect. But don't let the world make you think that sin is okay. Don't let the world make you think that immoral behavior, immoral lifestyles are okay. They're not. Sin is sin. Jesus calls us to turn away from sin and to follow him. Keep your faith. Keep your integrity in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, I'm just going to go back to the story I started with about those two long-distance runners. Jordan, can you please show that slide again, cross-country race in northern Spain? Apparently, if Ivan had overtaken Abel and won the race, he would have actually qualified for the Spanish national team. You know, qualifying for the national team would have been quite an honour. It would have been quite appealing. Potentially, that could have given him a bit of extra incentive to overtake Abel. But Ivan chose to do the right thing. Ivan put aside any of his own personal ambitions and he put Abel first. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, the Apostle Paul said, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." You know, Ivan embodied that scripture. Ivan was thinking more about Abel's interests than his own, and he encouraged Abel to cross the line. Ivan showed honesty and integrity. He wanted Abel to win because Abel deserved to win. You know, what Ivan did was selfless. He took his eyes off himself and instead looked to help his fellow runner. You know, I encourage all of us to take our eyes off ourselves and to value other people. Valuing other people helps lift them up. Valuing other people gives them a sense of worth. You know, valuing other people helps to grow unity. It's very important in the church to value other people and grow unity. And when we have unity, God is glorified. Amen? Amen. God calls us to treat others the way we want to be treated, with dignity and respect. God's word calls us to do nothing based on selfish ambition, pride, or deceitfulness. God's word calls us to behave with honour and honesty when dealing with people. Now, God calls us to live honest and upright lives, to live lives of integrity and high moral principles, which are based on the word of God. Value the word of God. Not just part of the word, the whole word of God. God's words, God's ways are holy and good. You know, don't be influenced by the way the world promotes immoral behavior and immoral lifestyles. Instead, be influenced by God and be prepared to stand up for God. You know, being a Christian and believing in the word of God might just make you stand out from the crowd. But don't worry about that. Don't worry about standing out from the crowd because it might just make people see that your faith is real. Encourage everyone here to live a life of integrity based on the Word of God. Living a life of integrity is not only the right way to live, it's also the better way to live. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are an amazing God. You are the one true God. There is no other way to salvation but through Jesus Christ. And Lord, we give you all the praise and the glory. Lord, we thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you for your precious word which guides us and leads us. Lord, I pray that we choose to be obedient to your word. Lord, I pray that we choose to live lives of integrity. I pray that we live by high standards. And if you're here today and you want to make a commitment, you want to make a commitment to live a life of integrity, I encourage you to stand with me. To stand up with me. If you want to stand up, if you want to make a commitment to stand up for the Word of God in our society, to stand up for Jesus, I just encourage you to stand with me now to make that commitment. As I said, I'm also standing. Heavenly Father, you are good. You are a holy God. Lord, I just pray that we choose to be honest. We choose to be honest in our workplaces, in our families, with our friends. I pray that we choose not to be selfish. I pray that we choose not to be self-centered, but instead look out for the interests of others. Lord, I pray that we respect others and we are quick to give thanks, that we are grateful people. Lord, I pray that we are hardworking. I pray that we are reliable. I pray that when we say we're going to do something, we do it. Lord, also pray that we are willing to stand up for the Word of God in this society that we live in, which seems to be going in the other direction to us a lot of the time. I pray that we choose not to be influenced by the way the world operates, but choose to follow you, Lord. I pray that we're not worried about what the world thinks, but we're more focused on what God thinks. I pray for boldness, for standing up for the Word of God. I pray that we are uncompromising in our faith. I pray that through having integrity, through having uncompromising faith in Jesus Christ, that people see that our faith is real. I pray that people not only see the light, see the faith in us, but they also choose to make Jesus Christ their Lord and Saviour. Lord, we thank you for this time this morning. And Lord, we give you all the glory and honour. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you. So I just encourage everyone here to live a life of integrity. And as I said, it's not only the right way to live, it's the better way to live. Amen? You know, we serve a mighty God. We serve a God of integrity. We serve a God who is faithful. What he promises, he delivers. So I just encourage us to live a life of integrity, to shine the light of Jesus Christ in our lives so that people see his light in us and so that they also believe. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well,